So tonight we are on the kingdom of God. We're on faith, hope, and love, part 44. 1 John chapter 3, 23 through 24. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. In just two commandments, we studied these last week. In just two commandments, the Lord summed up for us our lives as believers. And we know that if we now keep these two commandments and continue to keep these two commandments, it's rendered in the present active participle, he now abides in us. And we have the privilege, the joy, the blessing of abiding in him. And being in the indicative, that would be a statement of fact. Living out these two commandments is the only way to bear the fruit that pleases the Father. John 15:8 says that the Father is glorified when we bear the fruit which comes from abiding in Christ and he in us, and thereby prove out that we are truly his disciples. And I want you to understand and truly take in the implications of either obeying or not obeying these two commandments. If you do not believe in the name, for instance, if you let fear instead of faith dominate your life, and if you do not love one another as you have been loved because you're just living in such self-protection, then you can honestly say that right now you do not abide in Christ and he does not abide in you. You don't. And he doesn't. And remember, according to John 15:12, the standard is that we love as we have been loved. And here's the thing. No matter how religious you may be, how good you think you are, how great you think your time with God is, the reality, the truth is, you still now abide in your flesh. And this would explain those feelings of not being enough. Things not satisfying, you not being enough, feelings of loneliness, discontentment, and so on. But I want you to keep in mind what we studied last week in those passages. In John 15, it deals with your now and not necessarily your tomorrow. So today, you may be in that place where you have not chosen to believe in the name, and dissatisfaction and discontentment is like clothes that you are wearing. It doesn't have to be that way tomorrow. You can strip that baggage off of you and live free in Jesus. You can choose to live differently. Now, this word abide means to stay or to remain in a given place. So clearly, the Lord's goal is that you learn to stay, remain in Jesus, your ongoing existence. And in turn, Jesus remains in you. For he says in John 15, verse 4 through 6, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And this last statement is why I say over and over and over again that there is no middle ground. Unless you abide in Christ, unless you live in a way that obeys these two commandments, there is nothing you can do to bear the fruit that pleases the Father. And because the implication of this statement has largely been ignored, we Christians have lived far too long in that personal and corporate delusion about the level and quality of our true spirituality. But without him abiding in us, we can do nothing. Let's read that passage in John 15, verse 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So drawing on this picture given to us in John 15, 1 through 11, the gardener, the vine dresser, the father, he saw the depth of my own spiritual delusion. Despite my thinking that I was so mature and knew Jesus so well, so he started to cut off the dead branches of my life and started pruning the ones that were still alive so I could grow to become fruitful and pleasing to God. And I've had so many twigs and branches cut off, it's ridiculous. There were some branches that I thought were so good, righteous, and just full of integrity and virtuous. From the standard of Christianity in the world, they seemed so right. But the Father just came up and snipped and snipped and snipped and snipped and snipped and snipped. And then he grabbed those parts of my life that he had cut off and removed them from the vine and he burned them up. He burned up those worthless branches in the fire. Still other branches that had some life that were truly drawing nutrients from Jesus, he pruned. Now it felt a lot like the cutting, but with an entirely different effect. As he cut off those places of my life that were dead and dying and pruned the branches that had life, I started to form healthy, strong branches which produced his fruit. I found myself clinging to the vine for every part of my life. Drawing life from Jesus, I learned what it means to believe in the name, which is far different than just professing the name. And I learned how to love you as I have been loved. And this picture that God gives us in John 15 is really quite fabulous. The vine dresser, the gardener, the father, he loves his vineyard. He is careful with the branches that have life. And he has the wisdom and the knowledge to know exactly what to cut and when to cut to optimize the fruitfulness of the branch. He knows how much water and nutrients are needed, as well as the perfect soil to enhance flavor, color, and fragrance. But understand, the only branches which have life are those which truly cling to the vine. Those parts of your life where you actually do believe in the name. The branches that get cut off and burned are those parts of your life where you have given yourself over to fear. And you've chosen to believe in your own name and in the name of the false gods you worship instead of the name of the Lord. In order to truly abide in Christ and he in you, you must believe in the name. You must bet your life on all that is true about the name. We've talked about this so much that I'm afraid it falls on deaf ears. But the key to your ability to love as you have been loved is to first actively believe in the name. Otherwise, you will never feel safe or secure enough to lay down your lives for your friends, to take down your walls of self-protection and truly let others into your life with the authority to impact and influence your life. For most of us still, this past week, I've talked to so many people and their circumstances and how they feel about their circumstances. The craziness happening now, the pain of the past, the fear of the future, it defines reality. It dictates your personal truth. And it defines for you your God that you've assembled together. But that is not how we, the beloved, are to live. The name is to define for us our reality, our truth. And we must be willing to, again, give everything up for the name, bet it all, regardless of what we see, think, or feel. And again, I know I've said this many times before, but it is not stuck. And I'm praying that tonight, the truth about the name will just penetrate into your body so deeply that you just crave, yearn, and desire for him. When it comes to believing in the name, your circumstances are irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant. And you must not allow what's happening around you to cause you to castigate the name or cause you to doubt the name just because you do not like what you are going through and are afraid of what you might be missing out of, afraid of what life might bring forth, afraid, afraid, afraid. His name is powerful, and it has the power to drive out fear and bring you freedom. And believing in his name will lead you to a perfect love. And we know that his perfect love casts out all fear. Not some, but all. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. In fact, I said last week that his name gives us absolutely no reason to fear at all. Thus, as long as you choose to hold on to and embrace your fear, you do not believe in the name, and you worship a false god. We studied the name of God in part 3 through 19 of Faith, Hope, and Love. 17 deep, incredible teachings. And I encourage you to go back and study these names over and over again until you become convinced that he is who he says he is. And you finally realize that you are safe. That he's set your feet in a large plane and you are okay. Actively believing in the name is the key to being safe and secure enough to lay down your life and love as you have been loved. And each of us, every single one of us, needs to study the name, practice applying that name in our lives. Practice choosing to trust that he will be who he is, who he says he is, regardless of what is right in front of your face. And you need to continue to do this and continue to do this until you can live and proclaim the truth about the name, fully understanding why so many scriptures instruct us to exalt the name. Psalm 29:2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." Psalm 66:2, "Sing the glory of his name." Psalm 68:4, "Sing to God, sing praises to his name." Psalm 96:2, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name." Psalm 96:8, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name." I love that. Ascribe to him. That means every part of us should be just indulging in how marvelous and fantastic he is. Psalm 111, verse 9, "Holy and awesome is his name." Psalm 113:3, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised." Psalm 148:13, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted." Psalm 149:3, "Let them praise his name with dancing." Heart, mind, soul, body, all of it. And Luke 1, verse 49, "And holy is his name." As we have studied, if you truly call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Joel chapter 2, verse 2, and Romans 10:13. For the Lord says in Zechariah 10:12, "And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and in his name they will walk, declares the Lord." If you call on the name of the Lord according to our living hope, the gardener will cut off every branch that does not bear fruit. And you will be saved from those parts of your life that are sick, dying, infected, infested, and have the ability to corrupt even the good, healthy branches. And after you have been cut back, he will strengthen you, and in his name you will walk. Remember 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered for a little while, just a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And you will then walk in his name and live as if he is in the now of every single one of your circumstances, your commander in chief, your father, your lover, your darling, your defender, your protector, your fortress, your shield, your magnificence, your glory. And here's one for you, Robert. Your justice. And for me. Your provision. Your protection. Yes, he said that twice, so I said it twice. Your tender mercy. Your brilliance. Your companion. Your friend. Your God. Your creator. Your everything. Your sweet aroma. Your architect. Your craftsman. Tell me, what is lacking from this list? If you walk in his name, you are safe, you are secure, nothing can harm you. In thinking about this war that we are in and all the ways the enemy has tried to assail us and get us to turn from God to ourselves and to this world, Psalm 118, 10 through 12, speaks of our direct pathway to victory. It does not matter how many evil beings come against us. It does not matter. It doesn't matter who they use and inspire to attack or defame us. It does not matter what the world demands of us. It does not matter what religion demands of us. And even the intensity and ferocity of the attack does not matter. His name provides us our victory. Look at Psalm 118, 10 through 12. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. Three times the Spirit declares, in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. He gives us that power to cut off the strength of our enemies. And it is a guarantee if you walk in the name of the Lord. For my help is in the name of the Lord. Psalm 124, 8. That is why David said in Psalm 27, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Psalm 105, verse 1. Does anything at all that we have learned about the name come across as if we should live giving fear such power and dominance over our lives? Does anything we have learned about the name come across as if we should be hiding behind our little walls of self-protection, running to our little homes for safety? If you have truly called on the name of the Lord, you are safe. Yes, the cutting and the pruning hurts, but you are safe to let go of the control. You are safe to let go of all of that self-protection. I'm staring at you. You are safe to lay down your life for one another. In fact, if you believe in his name, you will choose to lay down your life. If you don't believe in his name, the only thing you will choose is to stay behind your wall and jump over and make little professions of Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. But it's not real. It's fake. If you believe in the name, you will be that person who chooses to lay down his life. And as a result, you will be that person who loves as you have been loved. I was recalling our study in Revelation 14, verse 1 through 2, and how God says that his chosen ones, the 144,000, which is just a picture of the completed bride of Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. They have Jesus' name and the name of the Father written on their foreheads. As we studied, the forehead is a symbol. It's a picture indicating an ardent religious follower, one who believes, not for convenience or necessity, as people who get marked on the hand, but out of a firm, passionate, full-on commitment. And this image we are given is of a group of people who truly believe in the name. And they have dedicated themselves such that they cannot be moved from their allegiance to Jesus, no matter what comes against them. In fact, they are the ones who follow Jesus wherever he goes, even unto death. I want you to listen to the testimony of these 144,000. And they overcame him, the beast, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. What an amazing statement. They did not love their life, even when faced with death. Revelation 12, verse 11 through 12. This is a picture of what God is doing in our lives. He is cutting so we might follow the Lamb wherever he goes. He is cutting so we might never love our life here in this world, even when faced with opposition, criticism, and death. He is pruning so that as we go forth, we bring forth the fruit of his life and his light to this world. And this is pleasing to the Father. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." This is one of those passages in the Bible that again gives us no wiggle room, no middle ground. This doesn't mean that you just walk around and attach Jesus to the things you say and do. I mean, that's ridiculous. Although I have to say, that's how most people who call on the name of the Lord tend to apply this verse. With what we understand about the name and what it means to believe in the name, this is an exhortation to always live every moment of every day betting your life on the name. This means there will be no room left for fear to occupy your soul. There'll be no room for selfishness. There'll be no room to run back to your own homes for safety. This means you choose to live in rest and peace, knowing that the Lord your God Almighty has you safe and secure all the time. According to Colossians 3:17, all that you do and say, all must come from this place of true, active belief in the name of the Lord. And trust me, this is not something you can fake, at least not for very long. The fruit of your life will always give away what you really believe. For example, if you live according to the name, it will be evidenced by what comes from your mouth. Going back to Colossians 3:17, ask yourself, do you now give thanks and continue to give thanks? Give is rendered in the present active participle. Do you give and continue to give thanks regardless of what God has you going through, whether at work, at home, with friends, with family, with loved ones, with the attacks of the enemy, and so on. Giving thanks and continuing to give thanks is the fruit of Christ abiding in you as you cling to the vine for your very life. Therefore, the only way you can truly give thanks and continue to give thanks is if you have settled with the fact that God must cut off the branches that are dead and dying, and he must prune those that still have life. You will utter thanks when you believe that every bit of your pain was necessary and is necessary, and therefore is not something you have to fear any longer. And when you settle this issue with God, he will abide in you, and you will abide in him, for you will cling to him and not to your fear. Then through him, you will give thanks to God the Father, and it will be a beautiful sacrifice of praise which continually flows from your lips. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. And this is a detail I don't want you to miss. You see, Colossians 3:17 does not tell us to just give thanks to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It says, but give thanks through Jesus to God the Father. This can only be done when he abides in you and you in him. Then he can use your body, your mouth, your voice, your lips to give and continue to give thanks to the Father regardless of what is going on in your life. You understand? And he, Jesus, through you will give that thanks because it pleases his Father. And for you, it will be an entirely supernatural experience. But it will prove out that you are a true disciple of Christ. Instead of sorrow, fear, worry, anxiety, unrest, bitterness, complaint, and dissatisfaction, you will be thankful. I know for me, with all my years of complaint, I have become very thankful and have come to understand that I would not want to change anything he has done. It has been the perfect path for me, given who I was. Different than your path, but it's been my perfect path, and there could have been no other path. Honestly, before him and I were on the same agenda that I must be like him, I did not like the path he chose for me. I had so many other ideas of what he could have done and how he could have done it. I wanted somebody else's path. I wanted anything but mine. But now I have settled with his goal for my life, which is the life of Jesus in mine. And I see the beautiful wisdom of all that he has done. I've seen the beautiful wisdom of each step he had me take. And the fruit of it has been fabulous. It's a perfect path. As is the path he has carved out for you. Don't be a hater any longer. It's time to settle this. Have peace. Sarah's been talking with many of you about this over and over and over and over. That there could have been no other pathway for you given who you are. And given what the Father knows about you. He's the perfect gardener. He knows what has to go, what needs to stay, and what needs to be done to make that remains alive. Understand this, accept this, and the fruit that will be born from your life will likewise be fabulous. Let's look at Micah chapter 4, verse 5. Though all the people walk, each in the name of his God, as for us, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. This needs to be the epitaph, the banner which flies over our lives. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. We will believe the name. And it doesn't matter what God others call on. Even if they say that their God's name is Jesus. And listen to me, do not be fooled. There's so many gods out there, and there's so many who go by the name of Jesus. You want to be careful, be wise, and walk only with those who do the will of the Father, with those who walk in the name of the Lord our God. For only those who believe in the name, only those who have bet their lives on who he says he is, evidenced by the fact that they give and continue to give thanks through Jesus, who abides in them, to the Father. Only those people will be the ones who will love as they have been loved. And for this group of people here who have just loved and nurtured their fear, you know what it is like when you meet someone who is free from fear. You know what it's like when you meet someone who does not control everything in their life to avoid pain. You know what it's like to experience someone who does not deal with you from behind their walls of self-protection. You know what it's like to be loved by someone who loves as they have been loved. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 through 24 is clear. There are only two commandments to fulfill all that Jesus desires of us. Just two. Believe in the name and love one another as we have been loved. John 15, 12. Call on the name of the Lord all you like. Give him thanks all you like. Be in your closet room and be saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But mark my word, if fear is your master, if fear is your Lord, then no matter how much you proclaim the name of Jesus and thank him, you will never know the freedom and joy that erupts from within by giving and continuing to give thanks through Jesus to God the Father. Confident that whatever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Go back, study the names. Examine your life and all the places you still refuse to actively believe in his name. Understand as you read it why you are safe always. Let the truth transform your mind. Let it take a hold of your emotions and set them in place. Ask him to cut off what is dead and dying and infecting your life. Ask him to prune the branches that still have life and learn to cling to Jesus. And when he comes near with the shears, don't run and hide. Don't fear. Don't withdraw. Don't pull away. Let him cut and cut. For he is our gardener who knows exactly what he needs to do in order to bring forth the most amazing fruit that brings glory to his name. Continue with this over and over again until his name is written on your forehead and the name of his Father is written on your forehead, and you follow and continue to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. For if you do, you will be one of those select few who loves as you have been loved. But first, you must believe in the name. We have a few more things to unearth in regards to God's divine agape love. However, I want to remind you that there's a whole study out there called Faces of Love. If you've not been through it in a while, I encourage you to go and listen or read and understand what God's agape love is all about and how it wraps around every type of relationship that we have in this life. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to dive a little further into our relationships and understand how the intimacy that we are to know and experience with one another in Christ translates and crosses over into friendship and marriage, and how neither of these human engagements are in fact substitutes for God's divine agape love. We must believe. Let's pray. God, your name is fabulous. And we do want to call on your name, Jesus, but we want to call with that heart that says, we believe. We know that you are our Lord God Almighty. And all those things that you said, and you're right, there's not a single thing you left off of that list when you spoke to us who you are and who you are to us. And I just pray, God, that we would just spend time studying what you've spoken to us, spend time understanding your names, and that you would just put in us, God, every single moment that we are there studying and learning, just more and more desire and passion for you. I want your name and the name of the Father across my forehead, and I want everybody to see it all the time. And I know that everyone in this body who's been here, they desire that too, God. So help us by your Spirit continue to convince us the worthlessness of our dead and dying branches, the worthlessness of our religion and our goodness, the worthlessness of our complaint. And may we yield to you and the beauty of your name. And we ask this in the most lovely name that's ever been spoken, the name of Jesus. Amen.